You're listening to Faith and Family, a Christian family community that aims to provide Christian values. I'm Mariel Gutierrez. Today we're going to talk about the three parenting methods to leave to our husbands. And they are, number one, to model spirituality in our household. Number two, to help our sons navigate through puberty. And number three, to teach our daughters their self-worth. We're leaving this to our husbands because as the heads of our household, they are just more effective at it than we are. Are they?
Yes. Agreed.
And according to a report in Fathers and Their Impact on Children's Well-Being, even from birth, children who have an involved father are more likely to be emotionally secure, more confident to explore their surroundings, and as they grow older, they have better social connections.
Right.
So, we're going to get right down to it. With me today are other busy, multitasking, dinner cooking, early rising, tired moms, Emmerich, Jewel, and Bernie.
Hello.
Hi!
I agree. My husband is Jerry, and he's super fun. I'm like the regulator of the household, and he's a fun guy. And when I mean fun, like I walked into the house one day, and they were spraying whipped cream into each other's mouths.
Aww. Right?
So Jerry, he likes to take the time to explain to JoJo, who is four. And when JoJo's going through one of those ask a million question moods, just like why, and Jerry doesn't like to give him half answers, you know, just so you know JoJo will stop asking.
Aww. So
which I love, you know, because sometimes
that's
I get
awesome,
impatient.
Bernie.
Yeah, yeah, and Jerry also being a son of a minister, you know, he believes in teaching JoJo spiritual guidance before anything. And to put God first, and everything else will fall into place. And it may even be painful sometimes, but God will always, you know, take care of his children. And so he tells JoJo that he can pretty much always pray and talk to God about, you know, anything. And so sometimes JoJo, when he feels frustrated, you know, sometimes even with me, he's just like, you know, Mom, I just need to talk to God for a second.
Uh-huh.
He said about three sentences with a little bit of help, but he was like, you know, dear God, please bless our parents. Thank you, God, for everything. We love you, God. Amen. And that was it. And I tell you, that was one of my proudest moments. And it just, you know, the fact that my husband really, you know, that time that he took really gave my son the confidence to pray and not be afraid. To do
you
that.
Know, I think that's so. I love hearing that, because in today's world, it's the lack of that spirituality. It's so sad. You know what I mean? Because people take on that burden themselves. Whereas I love how, you know, like Jerry is teaching your son, like, don't take the burden yourself. You know, leave it to God. And it's so amazing that your son JoJo is learning, our children are learning that at an early age, you know what I mean, that it's the thing to do, that's the automatic thing to do, and it's it'll just make, you know, JoJo growing up, it's going to make life so much easier. So thanks for sharing that.
All right, let's move on to number two. Help our sons navigate through puberty.
I have three boys, and okay, so Russell is my oldest. He's 16 years old now. And then Andrew is 12, so he's in that tween years, tween stage, entering that adolescence. But it's okay, because I've gone one round, so I'm a little more confident this time. And then the little one is David. He's 10 years old. So yeah, I have three boys. So if you're talking about puberty and talking to boys about puberty, I don't have much to offer except scientific information. You're going to experience hormones, and then you will have... yes. You may start to smell a little different, and... So, okay, I'll give you an example. So, you know, they have the school talk, and I kind of follow up with, like, you know, I give them the permission. You have to sign the form that gives them permission. So I give him permission, and then I'll follow up and say, so what did you learn? And then he's too embarrassed to tell his mother, like, I don't know, nothing, what, you know? Like, I'm like, did you talk about hormones? And
and then you make me feel awkward, you saying that.
I know.
I'm like, did they show you pictures? Did they show you where your urethra is? Oh my God. Okay, quick story. So, you know, I think we're covered because he watched the video. I followed up with the discussion. We're good, right? So my son's in bed when he was about 12 or 13. He was laying in bed, and it was time to turn the lights off, and he was sitting with his iPad. And I'm like, okay, time to go to bed. Hand it over, you know? And then so he quickly, like, you know, he's trying to shut it down all frantic. And I'm like, yeah.
Control, alt, delete.
He's like, how do I delete the history? No, so like, so I'm like, give it to me. So he gives it to me. And then he, like, quickly, like, tucks himself in bed and hides. And then so I'm walking out of his room. He just gave me the iPad, and now I'm turning around, walking out of the room, and I turn the iPad on, and it's like hot Asian something. And it's like, you know, there's nudity. And this is my very first experience with this. So I'm like, what? Oh my God. And my first instinct, so funny, because I don't think my son is there or he's ready for that kind of thing yet.
Right.
So even though I just got the iPad from my son in his room and I turn it on and I see that, my first instinct is to yell at my husband. I'm like, I'm like, Lewis, what are you looking at by the and he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, look, he's all, I didn't look at that. And so now we're like, what? I'm all, you, oh yeah. So my husband and I start going through the history of what he's looking up, you know, and my husband's like, calm down. It's okay. This is normal. And he's like, look at the history. He's looking up pregnant uterus. I don't know what's going on in his mind, but anyway, my husband takes the wheel. He's like, I got this, calm down, it's gonna be okay, you know. And so he goes back in the room, and they talk for like 5 minutes, and he's like, we got a date, we're going to the movies. So that weekend they go to the movies, and my husband, they go an hour before the movie so that they could have the talk. And they did. And so I think fathers, especially with sons going through puberty,
right,
they offer, you know, more than what their fifth grade or seventh grade teacher can show them, more than what I can tell him, you know, my scientific.
It's going to go crazy.
Yeah, really. It's like, you take don't it to ever. That.
You better respect a woman's body. Don't you ever look at her?
Don't ever look at her? Don't ever, no, you can't talk to her. You know, like, but they offer, like, experience, you know, because they have
right.
experience, they know how to navigate yeah. through all those experiences, and so they had a really deep talk. And then after that, they had a part two and a part three. So over over several weekends, they had a chat, and it just, you know, it puts me at ease knowing that, you know, that my son is being guided through this very difficult time of your life, you know.
Right. Okay, and finally, number three. Dads, fathers, our husbands, they can teach our daughters through self-worth. It makes sense that our husbands take handle on the process of navigating through puberty as a man, right, with our sons. But what about their role in our daughters' lives? Studies reveal that a father has a greater impact on their daughter's ability to trust, enjoy, and relate well to the males in her life. Well-fathered daughters usually are more confident, more self-reliant, more successful in school and in their careers than poorly fathered daughters.
I love this topic because there's so many girls out there who are that lack that confidence. Even though they're beautiful, they don't understand their self-worth. And so that's so big for me. Since I have a daughter, that my daughter grows up with confidence.
Yeah.
You know, Harmony, he doesn't really verbalize things a lot. A lot of it is action driven. So he takes, like what I've mentioned before, he takes Jasmine out to like his weekly lunch dates, you know, taking that time out and, you know, going to her school. And, you know, even if it's for 30 to 45 minutes, but that 30 to 45 minutes of his day where he makes her feel so important, it's empowering for her, you know, because it creates that, wow, I'm important. The other point that I wanted to make, because we were actually talking about this not too long ago, you know, how can we build that confidence in our daughter? See, Jasmine's only 8. She's turning 9 in a month. So it's not like he has these heart-to-heart talks, you know, like, oh, because she's not at that stage yet. But where I do feel that where she's learning from him is how he treats me. Because Harmony, he's a true gentleman. I mean, he's the type of guy that really opens doors. I'm actually at a convention right now in out of state. And, you know, Jasmine kept asking him before we left, Daddy, do you have to go? And, you know, Harmony basically says, well, you know, I don't want Mommy to drive by herself because I want to make sure to take care of her. And so he does a lot of, you know, he really, I'm a strong woman, but next to Harmony, I feel like the weaker half, because I really do feel that he caters, he really takes care of me like that. And I think Jasmine witnessing that helps her sees her worth. And so that in the future, like if she ever finds a guy, that's how she should be treated. Yeah, like that's how she should be treated. And so I feel it's so important for fathers to show that to their, if especially if they have daughters, how a woman should be treated.
Right. Mm-hmm. My husband EJ recently did something unexpected for my daughter. Usually the split of the focus of parenting is by gender for us. And so for Matea, her and I will usually cook and shop and talk together. So our relationship is kind of gearing more towards like being friends. And I'm sure that one day when she's an adult, we're going to be great friends. Right now, I'm like heavy on the mom side more, you know. But anyway, so she had a talent show recently, and her and I prepared for it. I helped her. We sang together, you know, we rehearsed. And the day came, and it was great. And then it was just done. Well, anyway, my husband, he was very supportive the whole time. You know, he told her she was doing great. He was there for the talent show, got her flowers and everything. But unprompted by me, I didn't even know, he sent a video of her performance to the writer of the musical, of the song that she sang.
That's sweet.
If you're curious, it was Lin-Manuel Miranda. And she sang she sang Breathe from In the Heights. Anyway, so he got a response, and then he showed me, and I was so surprised. And I looked at him, I'm like, why did you do that? You know, like, I, not that it was bad or anything, but I was like, what? I was surprised. I shouldn't be surprised, because obviously I know that he loves her and he supports her. Between the two of us, he's the one that will let her dream, you know, like he's the one that will say, oh, you like music? Let me get you a microphone, which, by the way, I'm borrowing now. OK, this is my daughter's mic. You know, do you like playing piano? OK, here's a keyboard. Let me get you whatever she was into. Oh, my gosh. Like recently, too, like she got a ukulele. He got her like a little case for it. Every single aspect of her interests, like he is all for it. He really just encourages Matea to dream, and he supports her like in the fullest sense, you know. And in the end, she's so confident, she's so fearless and bold that she not only believes she can do anything, but she just goes out and does it. I want to say it's because she takes after me. I really want to. But I know deep inside, it's my husband that's really heading that aspect of supporting her. And I know that it's his approval that is really giving her the confidence to go out there and accomplish everything she can set her mind to.
That support from her dad is so key. You know, when I think of my father, I think I'm a very confident woman. A lot of it is because of him. He's always shown that support of everything that I do. I'm one of those, I guess, as one of those kids that just had interest in a lot of things, you know, and he saw that in me. I mean, I ran for president in sixth grade, and I remember he, you know, running for president, like he got me all of these things so that I could, you know, to you know, how things you pass out flyers and posters and stuff.
He was your campaign manager.
And I kid you not, to this day, my dad still helps me with my business. I mean, even with my business, my dad doesn't really have to work, you know, but he wants to see me succeed. And so he's like my partner in my real estate business. And it's like I just feel like that support system of him being there is enough to just like for me to have that confidence of like, I can do it because I know my dad is there, you know.
My dad died when I was 21, but you know, looking back, he was a quiet man, and he was just the kind of guy who was like the wind beneath your wings, you know. Jewel ran for student council reminds me of my dad. You know, he was an immigrant. He was very shy because being in a different country than you grew up in, you know, he didn't have a whole lot of confidence, but he worked really hard, and he did what he could to support you. And he kind of did it quietly, you know. I ran for treasurer in fourth grade, and he made, and you know, I don't know that my dad knew exactly what to do. I would talk to him about what the expectations were. And then the next morning, and he probably should have involved me a little more and guided me. But, you know, he just, I'd wake up in the morning and there were posters, you know, for me to hang around the school.
I'm going to cry.
I know, I'm crying right now. He wrote my speech. It probably didn't make sense at all. I'm sure I didn't win. But I read it, you know, in front of an audience, and he just, he went to every swim meet. He was just always pushing me. He would take me. He would, oh, what do you have to do? Okay, I'll do it. Like he was just always there. And I think that definitely led to my grit.
Yes.
To my confidence.
That
you
presence
know?
Is so powerful. I mean, like what you said, your dad is a man of little words, but the mm-hmm. presence of him being there, like what you said, like
just
the
made
wind,
me
the wind beneath your wings, because it's like just him being there is like amazing. It's already, it means a lot already. It's very powerful.
And you don't think about that until like later, but like you realize like it's because you felt safe.
Yes.
You know, like he was going to be there no matter what.
I'm like still wiping my tears away. Okay.
I know. I was not expecting this at all.
Right. Yeah, I think that my father is similar to Emmerich's, and that is, you know, he's a quiet man. He's mostly led our family, led my brother and I spiritually. I started getting into theater and I started doing stand-up. And at first, my dad was like, I don't like that theater thing. I don't, you know, I'm not sure I'm feeling it. We had this, I had a really big play, and my whole family and my dad, everybody went. And afterwards, my dad was so proud of me. And I remember how tight he hugged me and was so surprised that this quiet, you know, 5 foot girl was able to do this. And from that day forward, whether it was theater, whether it was stand-up, he was my number one fan. He would tell me, give me your stack of flyers. And this man would pass it out to church, to work, people on the street, when he went to the store. And that made me feel so good, because though my dad, just like Emmerich, is a man a little worried, he doesn't really say so much, his actions of supporting me in something that I was afraid to do, be on stage and all that. He supported me.
It's like, wow, it really has created such impact in our lives and to who we are today. And
yeah.
Yes.
And it gives you an example of how to be, you know, a good parent. And it's just, it's funny because I don't know, my dad was an immigrant, like I said, and he was a bit awkward and he dressed kind of funny. You know, so he would show up to every swim meet and volunteer to be a timer. And I was like, Dad, can you just like watch from the side? And he'd be like, you know, just, I don't know. But like, you realize now it's like that support.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You couldn't put your finger on it. Why did I feel so confident? Why was I willing to sign up for every little thing? You know, and then you see it later. It's because there was a safety net. There was a support. There was someone who was like your cheerleader.
I love how you use that word, that you feel so safe. You know, when you said that, it's like that really is how I felt with my dad. And that's how I feel now with Jasmine, that Harmony is setting that, being that support that my kids feel safe when he's there, you know. And it's
I would have to like say that a father's role, one of their biggest roles, is that safety feeling.
Yeah.
You know, that when that man is there and he's leading you and he's praying for you and he's showing you, you know, how to be strong, you just like, you feel like you can do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just awesome to have.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, well, what about, let's say, a situation where it's a single parent household? It's still possible, right? I mean, Emmerich, when your dad passed away, you were about 21, right? How did your mom do it?
My mom's a pretty strong woman, and she, you know, she had to pick up both roles. And although, you know, she struggled, she had a hard time, especially, you know, with my brother, because I think a boy needs his father for those, you know.
Yeah.
Those moments of advice of someone who's been through that experience. But my mom, she really worked really hard. She was a very relentless parent. You know, she didn't let it go that, oh, this child is stubborn, or, oh, you know, I used to call my mom, and I still do, the 24-hour teacher. I mean, like, every moment you're around her, she's teaching you something. It's like, Mom, can't we just chill and, like, talk about, like, something funny? But no, it's like, she's got to teach you something all the time. My mom did a great job of picking up that extra weight.
Yes.
Showing us how to follow God, you know, and make that the most important thing in our life and get us set on a career and do all those things, because she had to, you know.
Well, she did an amazing job, because look at you and Carl Ritchie today.
Well, yes, I agree with Jewel. Your mom did an awesome job, Emmerich, in raising you and your brother after your dad passed. She had no choice, but she did it. And so to all the single parent households out there, you can do it too. For those households with a mom and dad, with both parents still around, take the time to listen to this podcast together. Moms, wives, bring in your husbands. Just as a reminder to each other, really, that parenting is teamwork. Maybe a gentle reminder to your husband that it's more effective for him to model the three things that we just talked about. Number one, spirituality in the household. Two, to help our sons navigate through puberty. And three, to teach our daughters their self-worth.
I'll call my dad after this.
Thank you, ladies, for contributing to this podcast. Bernie, Jewel, and Emmerich. And to everyone else, thanks so much for listening to this episode of Faith and Family.